now, it's your turn with Dave Mularkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mularkey.
Well, hello there. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn. And we have some good things to talk about today. City Hall, first of all. We'll meet our guests in a moment. A little bit later on the program today, actually, a little over half an hour from now, we'll be talking with a guest from California. She joined us by telephone. She's an author. Her husband, Michael Miller, graduated from Butler High School back in the 1990s. Her name is Christine Doré Miller. And it was a local listener who called me and clued me into her, and I gave her a call and set up an interview. So we'll be chatting with her from California today. But first of all, City Hall, the mayor of the city of Butler is here, Mayor Ben Smith. Mayor, good to see you.
You too, Dave.
Also with us is member of Butler City Council, Jeff Smith. Same thing, councilman. Good to have you here.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
Butler City Council met last night, and from the news reports that I had this morning from our reporter, Ryan Saylor. You guys went through a lot of business last night, Mayor.
There's a lot of stuff on the agenda, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't.
You got it.
Let's talk about a couple of things. If you guys have something you want to bring up, too, I was pleased to see that council found it appropriate and had the resources to order another new police car.
Yeah.
So your process, Mayor, of trying to slowly replace the aging fleet of police cars seems to be doing pretty well.
Yeah, it's been nice. We've been able to get that back in order. There were, you know, quite a few years there where we were struggling with vehicles. And starting, I think, last year, end of the year before, we started being able to order quite a few more and just replace some of those aging vehicles. So we're almost... I would say we're in good shape. We've got a couple cars over the next couple years that'll need to be replaced still, but the one we're replacing this year is a 2006, I think. So it's been around for a while, and as you know, a car that is going most of the time 24/7, they get beat up a lot faster than your car or mine would.
And that's, Councilman Jeff Smith, that's not just an aesthetic issue. That's a safety issue. When we have police officers using these cars virtually 24 hours a day, in some cases they're involved in a chase or a pursuit. In some cases, bad guys smash into them. These cars get pretty beat up, and it's a safety issue if they're not regularly replaced.
Yeah, it is. And like you're saying, when they're driving the cars, it's not like when you or I are commuting to work. You know, they've got some high speeds, some fast stops. Those cars get run hard and put away wet. And so it's you've got to make sure they're in good shape.
Speaking of aesthetics, I like the newer color scheme of the police cars. Seem to have gone to mainly white with the black lettering and so on, which is the reverse. I didn't care much for those old black ones. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we've got a couple that are white with black, and a couple that are the SUVs are primarily black with some white. And what we've tried to do is, well, we've accomplished it now, is have all of our vehicles marked. I think there's one or two that aren't marked at this point out of 10-ish, 10 or 12. So keep making sure that they're marked. I've heard a lot more people tell me about, you know, they see more of a presence now, and of course some of that is due to some changes we've made as far as the actual patrols, but also some of it's due to just having those more vehicles marked that are out. And I think there's a, you know, not only is there actually safety, there's more of a feeling of more safety too when you see those vehicles.
I agree. It's partly an image thing, but that's important.
Yeah.
Remember, I don't know, 25 years ago or something like that, where the state police for a couple of years went to a a blue and gold police car. Oh, yeah. Gag me. Those things were so ugly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank goodness they didn't keep that color scheme very long.
I'll make sure we don't switch over to that just for you.
Please do, yeah. Yes. Or consult me beforehand, yeah,
of course,
if you decide.
We'll bring you in on the selection committee or something.
Well, it's there's a sizable fleet when you add them all up, and they have to be replaced on a regular basis. Quite frankly, from a financial standpoint, I'm pleased that the city now has the financial resources to do that. That's good fiscal responsibility.
You know? Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, we try to keep everything in line.
There was a resolution that passed at last night's meeting to make the city's parks tobacco-free and nicotine-free. Now, this was something that I was not aware of. I guess there are some other municipalities that have already done this. It passed. Mayor, you expressed some reservations, and it was not so much maybe against it philosophically, but you weren't sure that the police would, you know, make this a high priority item, I guess. Is that?
Yeah, and for me, it's I'm all about, you know, don't expose our children or people who don't want to be exposed to smoke. I'm totally fine with that and on board. I was just a little more reserved in that. If it's something that is not going to be a high priority, why put it on the books?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was more of a practical vote no. But as far as philosophically, you're right. I'm on board with that for sure. So mine was, and I made sure to mention it last night, mine was not out of a spirit of, I want smoking in the parks. It was more of a spirit of, is this a practical thing for us? But I'm totally fine with the outcome of the vote.
And I guess there was an organization there, something that offered to put up signs. Is that?
Yeah, it's
I mean, just to alert people that.
Right. I think it's called Young Lungs at Play or something like that. It's sort of a statewide initiative, mm-hmm, from the Department of Health. And part of what they do, if you have this sort of resolution, is, you know, they'll give you signage that essentially says that, you know, young lungs at play, do not smoke. Just more of a, you know, as an informational, you know, I agree with the mayor. You know, we're not going to have stakeouts down at Memorial Park waiting to see somebody light up or start vaping. But I think it was Councilman Dandoy who said, you know, and part of it is just sort of the educational aspect of it. And you know what? I think that's probably the case, you know. And I've said it's not as much down at Memorial Park where smoke would dissipate, but you look at some of the smaller playgrounds, you know, where it's more of an enclosed area, and without thinking, somebody just might light up, throw the butt on the ground, and, you know, with a sign there, maybe they won't do it. So it's one of those things that we're probably better off for doing it. I mean, it does add another tool in the policeman's tool bag if they see something going on in the park. You know, it's one more reason why they can go ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's probably a good thing. I don't think it's going to change many people's lives, but hopefully it'll educate people.
Just saw a Wire story in the past week or so, I think, where there are some legislators in Harrisburg who are want to introduce legislation to close some of the loopholes in allowing smoking in public places. And there are certain bars that I think if less than 20% of your revenue comes from food, I don't remember the exact formula, but that and casinos. Casinos were exempted from the non-smoking law. So, well, we're thinking about that. Society's changing.
You know, sure.
Changing its views on that, that's for sure. Also, and I think this falls under your purview, Councilman Jeff Smith, city's hoping to save some money on its electric bills by going to LED lights. What's the story on that?
Right. We'll be retrofitting all of the incandescent and fluorescent lights in the city building and then over at the public safety building with LED lights. And it's sort of an interesting program with a company called Hercules, where we don't pay for this up front. It's sort of a pay-as-you-go from the savings. So, excuse me, the savings on this program offset the cost of it, plus a little additional savings, but not big savings for the first 5 years. But these LED lights, in the city building, it'll probably be their life is 30 years. So there aren't a lot of savings the first 5 years, but then for the next 25 years, there'll be some significant savings. And between the two buildings, you know, we're probably talking $60,000-$70,000, because of doing this project. And I think it sort of fits in with a lot of the things we've been trying to do in the city, where we're making changes now. Maybe they don't have an immediate impact on the city, but a few years down the road, we'll start reaping some of those benefits. And you've seen that in some of the labor contracts, as well as this project.
Wanted to make sure that people realize this is... Somebody said this morning after hearing me do this story on the news, you know, that they had to get a company to come in to change the light bulbs. I said, no, it's not... It's much more than that.
Yeah.
Fluorescent lighting, which predominates in any offices all over the country, for that matter, here in this studio, as a matter of fact, we have it. And there are new, I've seen them, there are new high-tech LED lighting panels that replace these old-time fluorescent fixtures. They've got ballasts and tubes you have to replace every so often. The new ones... It's not much bigger than a couple of pieces of paper.
Mm-hmm.
It's a flat screen. There's no bulb to change. There's no nothing. You put the whole panel up in there, plug it in, and it lasts for 25 years.
Yep.
Yeah. And just to help the person who thought we did need help doing light bulbs, I mean, the fact is, if two or three of us get together, we can change a light bulb. But part of this retrofit process is, and you mentioned it, the ballast, and anybody who's ever had fluorescent lights, the ballast goes and starts blinking. Yeah, they actually...
And the smoke alarms go off, and they evacuate the building and everything else.
Yeah. Part of this project is they actually rewire the lights to bypass those ballasts. So in addition to the electrical savings, sort of the hidden savings is, you know, the guys that work in the parks that also do the maintenance, they're the ones who have to come up, fix those ballasts, replace the lights.
Mm-hmm.
That work effort goes away because those lights, once they're in there, will be there for hopefully 30 years.
And they do save money. I made a decision, I don't know, 5 years ago to bite the bullet and replace everything at my home. And it's wonderful. I think I've replaced one light bulb since then.
Yeah.
You know.
I know the city, this is before Jeff and I were in office, but changed all the... along with the power company, changed all the lights on Main Street, the actual bulbs, to be LED. And we've seen a significant savings there as well. So it's definitely worth it.
Speaking of which, we have any update on the light poles, in the city? I know that's a contract job. It's not, under your guys' jurisdiction. But have you gotten any update on that?
The actual poles are supposed to still be in this month, is the last update I got.
But. Well, and the last one I heard earlier, just this week, and I don't think I share it with the mayor, they're actually, we're supposed to be in this week. Now, when they come in, there's some assembly required.
Mm-hmm.
The poles come in, and they've got there's attachments to hold the banners. They've got to put those in. So it may be another week or so before they actually start erecting them. But they were supposed to be in this week. Yeah. We're supposed to be assembling them. And hopefully we'll see them pretty soon.
I'm anxious to see them. All the bases are done. They finished those up before the really cold weather set in. That's what, folks, if you're driving along Main Street downtown, that's all those thin orange and white cones. They aren't really cones, but those warning things, they cover up the new bases for the new streetlight poles that are going to go in.
Right.
Anxious to see it. There'll be a light at high up, and there'll be a lower light, too, to light the sidewalk. I think it's going to look nice.
I think so, too.
Good.
And those bollards will then be turned on as well, so that there'll be sidewalks should be really well lit going forward.
That's going to make a big difference.
Absolutely.
Along Main Street downtown. Hey, we need to take a break. We'll talk more with the mayor and with Councilman Jeff Smith coming up here on It's Your Turn on WISR. We'll be back right after these messages. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location downtown Butler to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. Folks, you talk about tradition. You realize Miller's Shoes has been in downtown Butler for well over 120 years now. Yeah, that's tradition. That's staying power. Miller's Shoes, your headquarters for shoes for all members of the family. If you're looking for athletic shoes, they've got them for men, women, teens, kids, and they've got all the famous brands, too, right there under one roof. Miller's Shoes has Nike, New Balance, Saucony, Rockport, Keds, Skechers, Easy Spirit, Asics, Pro Pet, and more. Athletic shoes for the whole family. They've also got Rockport shoes and Trotters and Hush Puppies and many other famous name brands as well. Easy Spirit. And they're your local headquarters for America's favorite comfort shoes, SAS. You'll find them for men and women in a variety of styles and colors at Miller's Shoes. You can always count on that great Miller's fit, too. And a friendly smile from the Ciprians. Miller's Shoes. Headquarters for shoes for the entire family, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler, Miller's Shoes. City Hall on this first portion of It's Your Turn today. By the way, before I forget, thank the folks out at Missing Links Brewery, where we did our program live yesterday because of the pirate caravan stopping in. It was nice out there. It's a nice facility out there, too, so... Pittsburgh Pirates were there, and some folks from Mars Bank, and John Cyprian was there from Department of Veterans Services, and we talked with a couple of veterans, too. It was a nice time, and some nice donations made by Pirate Charities and Mars Bank to the Veterans in Need program. But we're back here in our studio today, so we don't have all the ambient noise that we had yesterday. Visiting with us today, one member of Butler City Council, Jeff Smith, and the mayor of the city of Butler, Mayor Ben Smith, is visiting with us as well. Mayor, council made an appointment last night to fill a vacancy in one of the city offices, city elected offices.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, our controller, Gretchen Elman, sadly passed away at the end of 2019. So we made an appointment last evening, Barb Hall, who is a local resident, lives pretty close proximity to the city building as well, and has a lot of experience in finance and that type of thing, was who we were able to appoint. We had a few different people who applied and even a couple different candidates who I think all of us probably would have been happy with, but it was it came down to a matter of what we thought who had the most time and availability and everything for the job that was also qualified. So
now, will she serve out the remainder of Gretchen's term?
That's correct.
How it works?
Yeah. She'll serve out the remaining 2 years until there'll be an election, and a new person will come in 2022, or the same person. She could, of course, run for election and seek that seat.
Gretchen Elman died just last month. She had served quite a while.
Controller. And before that, she was a long time redevelopment authority manager or whatever. So she served the city a long time.
We need to salute that sort of public service. We lost another public servant, Dale Pinkerton, within the past week. I continue to hear. I knew about his involvement, but I continued to hear different stories and tidbits from people in the days since he died that I'd never heard about before.
Sure, yeah. Yep. Definitely very involved, and we have to look back and appreciate his contributions to the community.
Yeah. Yep. He'll be missed.
Amen to that. Yeah. I'm trying to think of what else happened last night. We had, was this the first meeting for the re-elected and newly elected members of council? Councilman Mike Walter was re-elected in November.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Dandoy was newly elected.
Well, technically we had the reorganization meeting where we swore in the newly elected, the re-elected. So that would have been swore in Bob Dandoy, Mike Walter, and also Aaron Bonas as the treasurer last meeting. And then we did a couple little pieces of business. But, yeah, this is the first real substantive, I guess you could say, as far as issues meeting that we've had so far this year.
What about street paving this summer? Do we have money in the budget to do a little paving this summer, Mayor?
There's quite a bit. I would be lying if I told you I knew the exact dollar amount, but I think it's somewhere.
I think it's about $500,000.
Yeah, I was going to say I think it's around $500,000.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And there was actually, I think I might have read it on WISR news sheet. They're soliciting input from the community if they know of some streets that they'd like targeted. I think John Evans. They interviewed John Evans and. He's encouraged people to get in touch with the city building if they have any recommendations on streets that they'd like to be paved. I mean, I know that...
I was going to wonder if you got any recommendations on that.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he did.
The most community involvement we'll ever have.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I think John and Kenny Bonas, who's responsible for the streets in the city as councilman, I think they sort of have a tentative plan of some streets they want to, but... Yeah, like the mayor said, this is probably 2.5 times what we've had in the last year or so. So there should be some real good work done. Although I will tell people that our road work will not include the 400 block of North Main that's sort of like the Ho Chi Minh Trail. but PennDOT has promised to work on that.
They better work on it pretty soon. Otherwise, we're going to have a bus going out in a hole like happened down in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
As you know, and we've talked about many times, but for the listener's sake, Main Street, Jefferson, Cunningham, those are all state roads, and we know they need address and even put pressure on the state occasionally to do so, but those are not city. We're not even able to touch them if we wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as other roads that we're able to touch. And just for everybody's awareness, the city keeps a list of roads. I mean, it's basically every road in the city. And then it's just prioritized by what needs hit next based on the available funds. So while there is already, like Jeff said, a plan, we do want input because maybe something developed on a road or something that we didn't know about and maybe it's lower down on the list and it can be looked at and brought up. So it's not necessarily a matter of asking people to do our work for us. It's a matter of community input is always helpful to the established plan.
I know that the city has a policy for utility companies who have to dig up a street to fix a water line or a gas line. It's usually that.
Right.
Man, there are a couple of places I know where the temporary patches are really bad. Now you can't put in a permanent patch A in the wintertime because it's too cold,
right?
And B, even in the middle of summer, the dirt that you put back in sinks,
right?
And so it's a process. It takes a while.
You got it.
But man, some of the temporary patches. It'll rock your eye teeth.
They leave a little bit to be desired.
I hit that one on North McCain Street not too long ago, and holy mackerel.
Yeah.
Everything fell off the back seat of my car and everything else.
You got to stop driving 80 down North McCain.
I was not going very fast. I just, I looked back at it, and I'm thinking, my goodness.
Yeah.
Kid with a sand bucket could put a temporary patch in a little better than that, I would think. Again, folks, that's not the city's responsibility. And the city has, I know that there's an ordinance on the books.
Correct.
The utility companies are responsible for making that whole again. Right. It can't happen instantly, and that's understandable.
Right. But that is probably not one of our strengths, and not to make excuses, but you know, the big projects where they open up half a street, you know, we're aware of those.
Mm-hmm. And they usually repave the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah. But you know, you go on some of the side streets that aren't as well traveled, and you'll see where there's been a small area was dug up at some point, and there was, the city may not even know to follow up with the utility companies. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm not sure the utility companies always remember to come back and do the permanent patch. And so, you know, you drive around town, you'll see places where there's some bad patching jobs that have been there for several years. And I don't really know what the answer is, because, yeah, we have the ordinance. But if there's an emergency repair, we don't know about it, it gets lost, it's sometimes hard to follow up.
Right. Hey. That's typically where those kinds of issues arise, is if it's a scheduled maintenance issue where they're replacing lines or upgrading them or something like that. You know, they pull permits and everything. They get permission. But like Jeff said, if it's an emergency issue where they, you know, there's a leak and they have to go in and fix it, they're not required to get the permits for that, because of course the emergency takes precedence over paperwork. So sometimes we don't always see it because of that as well.
One thing I noticed when John Evans, the city code officer, put out that press release, it was within the past week, Jeff. Mm-hmm. I don't forget exactly when, but he said under consideration as a one-block stretch of, I think it was 3rd Street and one-block stretch of American Avenue. They're brick streets right now that have deteriorated tremendously. And the thought is maybe we'll just pave them over now. You know, there are some people that, you know, want to hang on to the remaining brick streets. But the problem is it's incredibly expensive to repair and replace a brick street. Mm-hmm. And that was a craft of long ago when labor was cheap and bricks were cheap.
Right.
And yeah. Some of them have, the brick streets in the city just have, you know, really big sinkholes and stuff in them. And, you know.
It's definitely way more expensive to replace the brick. And a lot of times what it does come down to is the community on that street, you know, the residents, because you know, the street's the city's property and responsibility, and we have to be responsible with those decisions. But also, if the entire street comes out and says, we want to keep the brick, that's going to persuade us probably more so than not hearing anything. We had a street, I think it was Oak Street, a few years ago, where we had, I think, literally half the street wanted to keep the brick, and I think exactly the same amount of people wanted to pave over it because they were so tired of it, you know, every 10 years having to petition for it to be upgraded, replaced. So it's certainly a decision-making process. I love the look of the brick streets as well, but when they're harder to plow, they're harder to maintain, they cause more wear and tear and damage on your car. So there's a trade-off either way you look at it.
Most of the streets in Butler, from what I understand, used to be brick, even Main Street. And somebody asked me about that once. I said, I certainly wasn't around. You guys weren't around. I speculated that maybe it was back in the days of, the Works Progress Administration, the WPA, or the Civilian Conservation Corps, where they were putting people to work because it's so labor-intensive.
Absolutely,
to build a big brick street, you know. I mean, it's just painstaking work that takes forever. I don't know.
Yeah. The one brick street I hope that the city can always keep is going up Pearl Street, where you can see the old trolley line.
Uh-huh.
That, to me, that's a real tribute to the past. Some of the others, you know, time moves on and you have to replace it. But that section to me is just special.
I agree with you. And that's still in pretty good shape
in that
particular area. Folks, you can see where the old trolley lines used to. And yes, there was a trolley line that went up that really steep hill on East Pearl Street. Yeah. Well, at any rate, it's good to. I know how expensive and slow that is. The county had, and I'm trying to think of what the project was. It was up around Diamond Park, whenever they redid Diamond Park or something like that, and they put in the contract that they wanted those streets to be rebricked, and it took forever. Yeah, they had to bring in special masons, you know. Mm-hmm. Who builds brick streets anymore?
Right. Yeah, it's a specialized skill for sure.
Yeah. Have I missed anything major from last night's meeting that we need to discuss?
I don't think so. I think you hit the highlights for sure.
The city has finalized its budget since we last chatted. That the city works on a calendar year, right?
You ran off on us for a while.
I was on vacation.
The end of the year. Right? I know. Yeah, that's But yes, we did finalize the budget at the end of last year. So things are looking like they're in good shape, and I think we ended last year a little better than we had hoped as well. Things are good all around, I think.
City's budget now is up around $8 million, $8.5 million, $9 million.
If you look at the total budget, now that includes, you know, we get a tax anticipation note of $1 million. So you've got $1 million in and $1 million out that helps push a number, but it's up over $9 million.
Well, that's good, because there was a long time where the city's revenues, income, just kind of stabilized there at around $7 million, and it was tough to buy enough pencils and paper for the city building. Labor peace, right? We have contracts are in place for the city's bargaining units, right?
That's right. Yeah, we'll start working on the police contract, I think, this year for next year.
Didn't the firefighters just agree to a new?
Yep. Starting January 1, it's a 5-year contract that's in place, and then I think the AFSCME union is another year, maybe another year or two. So. Everything's in good shape. I mean, obviously, both sides are always going to want a little more or less on a contract year, but I think, you know, right now all parties are pretty well happy.
And that's important, and it bodes well for the future, I think. Non-confrontational negotiations, give and take, as you said, Mayor, on each side, but bottom line is labor peace, and in this day and age, if you're running a city, that's a good thing to have.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, nice to see you guys here.
Thanks for having us. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I'm anxious to see the new streetlight poles go up.
Me too.
Yeah. We ought to take a picture of downtown Butler, you know, before and after.
Yeah.
Because that's going to look a whole lot different when those go in.
Absolutely.
Councilman Jeff Smith visiting with us today, and also the mayor of the city of Butler, Ben Smith, with us on City Hall. And nice to have him here. So let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be chatting with a woman from out in California, Oak Park, California. I'm not quite sure where that is, Oak Park, California. Her name is Christine Dore Miller, and we'll be chatting with her on the next segment of It's Your Turn on WISR. So stick around. We'll be back with more in just a couple of minutes.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
When planning a funeral, should cremation be considered? That subject comes up a lot these days, and Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler can help to answer your many questions about cremation. Is it appropriate for your family? Should there be an actual funeral service, keeping in mind that it's a time to celebrate the meaningful life of your loved one? And of course, we look at the bottom line. What's the cost? Thompson Miller's cremation program offers three advantages: simplicity, convenience, and it's all performed locally here in Butler. We assure you that your loved one will never leave our care at any point in the process. Let's talk it over privately right here at Thompson Miller. We've been serving the Butler community for more than 90 years. A third generation of the same family is here for you. Call us at 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or online at www.thompson-miller.com. Thompson Miller, at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, because we care.
Coming up, listeners, on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, I'm Dave Malarkey. We have a special guest joining us by telephone from the West Coast, from California. She is Christine Doré Miller, and she's the author of a new novel entitled Forgiven Are the Starry-Eyed. First of all, Christine, hello. Nice to have you with us here today.
Hi, Dave. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
We wanted to talk with you because I heard from a person here in our area that said you need to get in touch with Christine. Your husband, Michael Miller, was a graduate of Butler High School, I guess, right?
That's right. Yeah, he was born and raised in Butler, graduated from Butler High, and then moved out to California for college. And we both live out here now. But I've been back to Butler many times. His family all still lives there. So, it's definitely a place that is special to us.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your novel, Forgiven Are the Starry-Eyed. It is a novel that centers on your main character, your central character, and it's a naive 16-year-old teen by the name of Andrea Cavanaugh, right?
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about Andrea.
So she is definitely, I think, kind of someone that every woman and girl can relate to, in that she's naive and very, you know, quote, starry-eyed, but just really wants to figure out her place in the world, really wants to be loved, really wants to give love, but just doesn't really know how to do that, and is trying to seek validation kind of in all the wrong places, which is something I think a lot of young girls can relate to, and a lot of adult women can remember what that feels like, and just trying to figure out her place in the world and where she's really meant to be. And sometimes people that are just believing in love so much and just really want it can end up in a difficult situation because they can be a little bit too trusting. Like I like to say, that starry eyes can be quite blinding sometimes.
And Andrea, by the way, I'm saying Andrea. Do you say Andrea? There's two ways to say that word. What do you think?
Yeah, I say Andrea, and a lot of her friends in the book call her Andy, but I refer to her usually just as Andrea.
Well, let's use Andrea then. Anyway, she has her first boyfriend, which is the central part of your novel. It's Josh. Tell us about Josh. Who's he, and why does she like him?
Yeah, sure. So Josh is exciting. He's new to the school. He's different. He's extremely talented and someone that caught her eye because he was just something that was like a breath of fresh air. Someone new, someone that didn't fit the mold of kind of the typical guy that she had seen before. And so she was attracted to him right away. And I think what really made her more attracted to him was that he showed her like a mutual attraction. And for Andrea, she's really, like I said before, just wants so bad to be loved. I mean, I think with teenagers, especially girls, relationships can be defining and can be just central to our identity. And I think that as soon as she found someone that showed interest in her, that was what was really the most appealing thing. And she got really just kind of blinded by that and excited and fell for him really quickly.
Well, I can speak from the guy's point of view. It's exciting for us, too, when you get that first, reception of somebody that likes you as well. Yeah, it's exciting. By the way, Josh he's a piano prodigy, right? Plays the piano.
Yep, that's right. He plays the piano, and he's an extremely extremely talented, and that's something that kind of sets him apart and helps them. Like, so they both play in like a jazz band together for the school, and that's where they meet. And he's really talented, just kind of like a one in a million, and that's something that she feels like honored that he's even like giving her time, because he's just so well respected in that community, and that's something that's a big deal to her.
However, the relationship deteriorates and spirals downward and becomes an abusive relationship, right?
Yep, that's right. And I think the important thing here is that I think red flags can really be easily ignored, even when there's just really pure good intention here. And the book shows like a kind of a starts to be a slow deterioration, and because I think Andrea is looking so much for that defining, like, look, if someone else shows that they love me, then that means that I'm worthy of love, and that's really what she's looking for. And then there's some red flags that I think readers can kind of pick up on as they go through before it becomes just a full-on abusive relationship. And it's just really important to recognize that that happens in teenage relationships quite a bit, where it's not always just a domestic violence like in an adult marriage or something like that. It's it happens really frequently, and this is, I think, a really kind of powerful example of that.
We're talking with Christine Doré Miller, author of Forgiven Are the Starry-Eyed. It's a novel, it's fiction, but it deals with some very hard-hitting topics and issues that teens must deal with today. Even after Andrea realizes that Josh is not the guy that she thought he was initially, and that he has issues, I love this quote in your book, Christine. And by the way, it's in the first person. It's written from Andrea's point of view. And she says, Speaking of Josh, in my mind, he was a tormented, brilliant artist, and I could be the one who helped him, the one who figured him out, so it became my mission, end quote.
Mm.
A lot of teenage girls think like that, don't they?
Absolutely, yes. Thank you for calling that out. It's so true. I think that she started to recognize these signs, and it was just like, no, like, I can change him. And if I change him, like, if I can make him, you know, better, then what does that say about me? Like, I'm so amazing, and I'm so worthy of love that, like, that just being with me can make someone, you know, fixed and better. And certainly those aren't, like, necessarily conscious thoughts, but they're definitely, that's what's kind of, I think, brewing in the background.
What kind of an abusive relationship does this devolve into?
It starts, you know, with kind of just verbal, emotional manipulation, where I think Josh becomes more just controlling, and Andrea becomes a little bit more isolated. And then once that dynamic has been established, it escalates in both physical and sexual violence. And at a certain point, you know, Andrea realizes that, like, what's happening, and that this is not, doesn't feel good anymore, and this isn't a good thing, and that she's scared of him, but it's gotten so far, and she's in so deep that she feels genuinely stuck. And one of the things, you know, we hear all the time, just kind of in the vernacular of the media, is like, well, why didn't they leave? Like, they could have just left, when it comes to any kind of abusive relationship in either adults or teens. And I think one thing I'm proud of about this book is that it kind of answers that question, like, why didn't she leave? Because you are, you know, one is so far gone at a certain point in a relationship where they have been so manipulated and controlled that they truly believe in everything that this person is saying, and they believe that they can't survive without this person, and it's just the brainwashing of it. I think the book kind of takes the reader through that dynamic to understand that, which I think is really the mission here, to help answer that question.
And your character of Andrea, by the way, we should mention, this is a teen who doesn't get into trouble. She's not a bad girl. She's every parent's dream. No problems.
Absolutely.
But she's also, because of that, very ill-equipped to know where to turn when she realizes what's happening here. She doesn't know who to talk to, I guess, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think, like, she has a great relationship with her parents. She has, her parents are supportive and involved. She goes to a good school. You know, there's really nothing here on the surface that is wrong. And I think that was important to me, to kind of have her be that character that could be anybody, like that anyone could be Andrea. Like, she's a very relatable, just kind of typical character. And I think what's unique about this story is how not unique it is in a certain way, where usually I think people on the outside might think that abusive relationships only happen in kind of certain demographics, but in reality that's far from true. It crosses all different demographics, and it's tough, because even someone who is, you know, educated and intelligent and has support around her still can get to that point where they become so isolated they don't know where to go, and they don't, like you said, ill-equipped, just doesn't have the tools, because it's not something we really teach, you know, in our classrooms very often. It's not something that I think people like to think of abusive relationships solely as domestic violence in marriages for adults, and there are support groups and education for that, but there's really not for teens. And according to the National Domestic Violence Hotline organization, 60% of teens in current day are victims of abuse from a dating partner in some way or another. So it's a very big issue that I really don't think people talk about much, and I don't think that, and therefore, because it's not talked about much, I think a lot of teens don't know how to handle it, so it escalates really quickly.
Can you stick with us for a couple of more minutes? I have to squeeze a break in here. Can you hang with us, Christine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
More on It's Your Turn here on WISR right after these words. Time for a checkup for your pet. We recommend Suburban Animal Clinic. Or maybe Fido or Tabby's not feeling so well. Suburban Animal Clinic, a small animal veterinary practice located Route 8 south of Butler at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive. It's about 5 miles south of Butler. Suburban Animal Clinic, in the spirit of Dr. Dennis Damon. Their services include wellness checks for your pet, of course, also emergency care. They have laser therapy, dental available, also prescription diets. You know, one of the things that are problems for a lot of our pets these days, being overweight. Microchipping, they can handle that as well. Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, south of Butler. If you're headed south from Butler toward Pittsburgh, as soon as you pass all the auto dealerships, start looking on your left. That's Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8 South at Thorncrest Drive.
Bill, Susan, you guys look amazing. What's the secret?
Our new Sleep Number 360 smart bed.
He chooses the comfort on his side, I choose mine. We feel great.
Can it help keep you asleep?
Yes, it senses our movements and adjusts to keep us both comfortable all night.
I don't think it's a secret anymore.
And now save $1,000 on the Queen Sleep Number 360 Special Edition Smart Bed, now only $17.99. Plus, free premium delivery on all smart beds when you add a base. Ends Monday. To find your local Sleep Number store, go to sleepnumber.com.
What's in store this week at your local Staples?
Out with the old and ink with the new.
You can't print without ink.
Yeah, it's very hard. I've tried.
So stock up at Staples, because now HP OfficeJet Pro ink cartridges are buy one, get one 30% off.
Plus, get free overnight delivery on HP ink at staples.com. Staples, where there's a whole lot more in store.
Ends 1/25/20. Restrictions apply. Free delivery excludes holidays and weekends. Order by 5 p.m. See store or staples.com/HPBOGO for details.
The Butler Little Theater presents Lunch Hour, a comedy by Gene Kerr, now live on stage at the Butler Little Theater through January 25th. Lunch Hour pairs an unlikely duo whose spouses are secretly having an affair. They decide to counter by inventing an affair of their own in hopes of making their spouses jealous. Lunch Hour, now live on stage at the Butler Little Theater. Tickets available online at bltgroup.org or call weekday evenings between 7 and 9 p.m. at 287-6781. Welcome back. I'm Dave Malarkey, and you're listening to It's Your Turn here on WISR. We're chatting by telephone with Christine Doré Miller, author of a new novel. It's about a teenage girl who ends up in an abusive relationship. The title is Forgiven Are the Starry-Eyed. Probably some help for parents in here, too, Christine, of parents of teenage girls, because of the type of girl that Andrea was, you know, good girl, never got into trouble or anything. Her parents perhaps overlooked some of the changes that would indicate that she was getting into trouble. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that her parents, it's just so easy because teens have so much pressure on them with studying and college and sports or hobbies or whatever, that it's just like, I think it can be easily overlooked with certain signs, you know. And I think that teens don't want their parents to worry, and they don't want their parents to look at them differently or judge them. And I think parents often, I mean, I'm a parent. I have two young kids, and I know it's, as a parent, you look at your kids like they're just this pure, perfect, can do no wrong thing. And I think as when kids get older and they're teenagers, they don't want to show their parents that there can be some flaw and tarnish on them. And so they really want to show their parents the best side of themselves. And I think that it can be easy because I don't think a teen is going to just necessarily come outright and tell their parents, like, I'm in an abusive relationship. I think where Andrea's case, I don't think she ever even uses the phrase abusive relationship because I don't think she has the language for it at that point. So it's something that we have to do a good job of really being able to see under kind of the surface, like when someone is isolating more from friends, when someone is like really obsessed about like, am I getting a text back from my boyfriend or girlfriend? And just the behavior and the body language when they're around that person, that kind of thing, we have to do a better job of being able to notice that.
There's an undercurrent of dejection and hopelessness and shame. I read one review on Amazon from a reader who had read your book, Christine, and she said, "This novel will make you angry." She called it an emotionally tough read. But hopefully it'll open some eyes and some hearts to these tough issues, these hard-hitting issues that teens are dealing with today, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I loved that review too. That was one of my favorites because it made me it is not meant to be a light, fluffy beach read. You know, it is meant to make people angry because this is something that, like I mentioned, 60% of modern adolescents go through this type of thing, and it is just something that is not talked about because it's so coded in shame and discomfort, and it's very difficult. And I think until we have stories like this in our modern media, like Andrea and Josh's story, being in books and TV and movies, and until that's like part of our kind of just the typical vernacular of our media, and we're aware that this is an issue, then it's hard to address. So it's just critical to me that there's more examples like Andrea and Josh out there for people to relate to, because when you see that it's happening to other people, then it's like a little bit less scary to talk about.
I would imagine that this would your novel would hit very close to home for many young women and girls, even older women. You know, take you back to how exciting and yet how scary it can be when you're a teenager in love.
Absolutely, and just the vulnerability that both boys and girls, you know, feel with their first love, and just kind of, I think the expectation that they feel that this is going to be defining and critical, and this is just, you know, it's massive, and teenagers are asked to deal with very adult situations all the time, whether it's sex or drinking or just betrayal and friendships and all this kind of stuff, but they aren't necessarily like emotionally mature enough, just from a brain perspective, life length perspective, you know, they just don't have the kind of emotional maturity to handle it, but we ask them to handle it anyway, and then we don't give them the support they need to do so. So to me, it's a really important conversation to start.
As we get ready to wrap up our conversation here with Christine Doré Miller, tell us a little bit about yourself, Christine. What do you do besides write novels?
Yeah, sure. So this is actually my first novel that I've written, and I'm in the process of working on a sequel to this book, but I work full-time as a senior marketing manager at Hulu here in Los Angeles. That's my full-time job. I do writing is kind of my passion project that I like to do on the side. So it's been a dream of mine my entire life since I was a child to have a novel published. So Forgiven Are the Starry-Eyed is really important to me and feels it just feels really good to have this message out there. And I am married. My husband, as we mentioned, is a native of Butler. And we have two young kids and live out here in Los Angeles. And yeah, things are good. It's great. And I'm excited to try to get to work on the next novel I've started. But, you know, with the full-time job and the two young kids, it's hard to find time. But I'm trying.
So how did Dave ever find Christine out in Oak Park, California? Well, I have to thank Cindy Ruman for that, your aunt, who sent me an email and told me about you and said, you know, you might want to talk to her. And indeed,
yes, absolutely. Aunt Cindy is one of our favorites. She's amazing. She comes out to visit us a lot, and yeah, we adore her, and she loves your show, so I really appreciate that connection.
Well, nice to meet you and talk to you, Christine. Once again, the title of Christine Doré Miller's novel is Forgiven Are the Starry-Eyed, available, I know, on Amazon, because I saw it there, but probably other places as well. You could get your local bookstore to order it. Christine, nice to talk with you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you, Dave. It was really nice to talk to you, too. I appreciate it.
All righty. So long now.
Okay, bye.
Did you know that research has shown that wine, specifically red wine, has a wide array of health benefits, ranging from improved memory to improved heart health? So that means it's important for your health and the health of your friends to come to WISR's 14th Annual Wine Festival, presented by Deal Toyota, on Saturday, January 25th at the Butler Days Inn. Pennsylvania wineries will showcase their reds, whites, sweets, and dry wines, and we've added McLaughlin Distillery as a new treat. Foods to sample and buy, vendors and raffles, plus a basket auction to benefit the March of Dimes. Escape the winter doldrums at Butler County's premier wine tasting event. For tickets, go to butlerradio.com.
Schneider's 1 Hour Heating and Air. How can I save you time today?
My house is so cold. My dog Smiley's even shivering.
Sir, set Smiley in a sunny spot and we'll be right over.
At Schneider's, we love pets. If your furry friend is cold,
you gotta be freezing.
Call Schneider's and we'll come out and diagnose your doggone problem.
We'll get your furnace back up and running in no time.
Schneider's guarantees our work with a 100% money-back guarantee.
And if we're not out to fix your furnace when we say we'll be,
you don't pay a dime. Bring back the heat to your home with Schneider's 1 Hour Heating and Air.
You know what you call a dog with a fixed-up furnace from Schneider's?
What's that, Michael?
A hot dog.
Call Schneider's 1 Hour.
283-8525.
We'll get your furnace back up and running in no time. Attorney General number, PA4619.
Join the Butler County Symphony Orchestra on Saturday, February 1st at 7:30 p.m. at the Butler Intermediate High School Auditorium as we celebrate Beethoven's 250th birthday by performing his Symphony No. 5 in C minor, Opus 67. The Butler County Symphony Orchestra will also be joined on stage by cellist Roman Mikhailov for a performance of Don Quixote by Strauss. Tickets are $25 for adults, $8 for students. Use code word BELOVED for buy one, get one half off offer at butlersymphony.org.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.